So I'd this time like to invite and ask for some voices. So this could be a question, or it could be a comment, or it could be, it's like this for me, you know, or how about this? It could be a question. That's the most obvious one, but sometimes questions can be a bit contrived. But if you have a particular question, it helps to clarify what I've been saying, because it doesn't always go in or land or stay very long. So you might need to come back to it. Or it may be a comment like, feel I'm struggling, or, you know, feel very pressurized or confused. It's a comment, doesn't necessarily mean there'll be a response. For some of them, it just helps, and it helps me also to assess and get a feeling for what's helpful for you. So are there any voices? Don't have to be, but if you have anything you'd like to verbalize, or just groan, you know. I can relate to that too. Okay, so the question is, having a 14-year-old daughter already beginning to experience the inner tyrant because she's doing ballet and needs to be really good at it, really perfect at it. So what's the answer? What's the question? You know, perhaps the first answer is just to say how much you love her. You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's not that it doesn't matter, because that makes it sound silly, doesn't it? But just feel you have confidence if she'll really do the best she can, and it will really grow for her as long as she stays with that and remember that you're there. You're there with her. You know, so it's not, it doesn't matter, but you know, the feeling of when a person's experienced the inner tyrant, what they lose is the empathy. The first thing that another person brings is the empathy. That's the first, sometimes it's the only thing that's necessary, just a sense of, yeah, I get that in my work, you know. And it's okay. It's whatever, I'm there with that. And you know, first thing, and maybe just a sense of, I know you're going to bring forth the best that's possible for you. And, you know, it depends that how much is necessary, because, you know, you can say a little bit and you realize the person's got it. They just got the bit they needed. You might need to see a little bit more, even just gentle touch, physical touch. You know, so another thing is, you know, just you want to bring a person, help a person to come out of the grip of that voice that demands perfection. What is perfection? And what's the goal we're going to achieve? Let's achieve it now. Perfection is very, very strong tyrant program. So, but yeah, you know, because most of these programs have got something valid in them, but they're often just out of sync. Like, yeah, it's good to really, you know, let's come up, let's really bring forth, and naturally when we first start, we're not going to get it quite right, and there's a wish to somehow, you know, improve or learn. That's fine, but when it's not allowing the time, the body time, the real time to occur. Yeah? There's the embodied time, which is a process. The tyrant cuts out and says, you've got to be there on day one. Or, and there's a punishment if you don't. So that's a bit we don't need. We can say, you know, the encouragement to rise up fully into what we're doing, you know, and just see where that's going to go. And then somehow one is in play rather than work. And play time is the most valuable, because play is not trivial. Play means we're really fully in the present with what we're doing. We're not concerned about goals. Yeah, and this is when we're most fluid and most potent and most rich, is in play time, not in work time. So it depends how much is necessary. But so, okay, so the question, if I frame it up, is if we have unskillful patterns and we don't feel motivated to change them, won't we just end up staying stuck in our unskillful patterns? Would that be? I think it's a difference, perhaps, and these may be just words, but remember, words are stabs. We attempt to find something meaningful. So assessment is perhaps better than judgment. Because assessment, also we're taking the self out of it. Like, these particular patterns and behaviours go to this, give rise to this result. Have I seen that? Yeah. These particular attitudes give rise to that result. Have I really seen that? Has that been seen? Yeah. And if it has been seen, sometimes it isn't really seen. That is, we judge it before we've really got it, you know. So we can see something, oh, stupid, but you haven't really got it as to why. So we can be too quick on the critique. So that's part of it. But sure, there are patterns, grudge-bearing, jealousy, craving, addictions. We all have addictions of various kinds that are unskillful. So we get the sense of, you know, this is not free. This is not leading to freedom. Now the important piece, probably, to bring into that, because we can quite easily go into the critique of what's wrong, without perhaps staying in touch with and bearing in mind and getting a feeling for what's right, what's really good. So, this is not worthy of me, is better than you idiot. And some suggestion, some touching into, I can be bigger than this. I don't need to be with this. I could get into that again, but I don't need to do that. This is not beautiful, you know. I can be better than this. Without that, without the feeling of the positive, or without the touch, the breath, the confidence, the faith in awakening, in freedom, in realization, in clarity, whatever you want to call it, in something, then all we're doing is we feel negative, and we feel negative about our negativity. Yeah. And so we just go into a spiral, because there isn't anything, I'm using it in the Christian culture, there isn't anything redemptive about it. There isn't something saying, you know, yeah, that's the way it goes, and you can keep on doing that if you like, until the penny drops, but you don't need to. You know, you can rise into something better than that. And what's that? Now the very moment that we say, or even infer or imagine that we could be different, better, there it is. Because it's the freedom to choose. Now the blaming doesn't, it just goes round in a spiral. It doesn't really give you the freedom to choose. It just goes blame, and then you're going to react to the blame. And you can try and suppress the feeling. So it's a kind of domino effect, you know. And so it doesn't actually take you out of the negative pattern, it just sends you round the circle of it. Pattern breaks when we come to the place, sense the negative, sense that was cramping, unwholesome, feel it in your body. So you really got to get it, not just as an idea, but get it. And getting it often means getting it in your guts, getting it in your heart. You think, God, this is, ugh. And then, you know, I could be better than this. I can be bigger than this. So that's the moment. It takes us out. And the sooner we can get to that moment, the better. So, and the way to get to the moment is to start to sense negativity patterns as they're happening in your body. Because the body doesn't excuse, justify, blame, or proliferate, it just feels. And you get the feeling of, ugh, and then, you know, some sense of coming out, being able to come out of that. Yeah, I remember. And these patterns don't, you know, the thing is that you don't necessarily get out of them. It takes a while before the penny really gets there. I remember a friend of mine who's doing heroin for a number of years. So yeah, I'll go heroin, bad deal, not good. Shouldn't do it. And so doing that, you know, time and time again, knowing, thinking it's not good, feeling it's not good, feeling ashamed, denying that it's a problem, feeling ashamed, still doing it, not getting it, still feeling bad about it, realizing you shouldn't do it, doing it again, feeling ashamed, doing it again, you know, until something gets in you, you wake up one day and it's just thinking, this has got to stop, enough, you know. And my sense of how we get to that moment as quickly as possible is to embody it in ourselves. You know, so some of these things can be wound up with, well, they always do that to me. And my dad did it and it was okay. And so what? I mean, so who's blaming me? You know, we bring other ghosts into the picture, people who aren't there to fight with or to justify it, you know? And you've got to get the ghosts out. Say, look, this is yours. Feel it in your body. Breathe through it. Take your time. Pause. Don't react. So when you stop the action, or the reaction, pause, that's what I mean about pausing on the action, even the action to change yourself, then you can rely upon something much more primary than action, reaction, the felt sense of there's something else here that you could that can rise up through this. I mean, maybe those words are helpful, but you know, it's really a spiritual experience. Because it's like it comes from somewhere else other than your thinking brain stuff and your attempted gestures to get it right. Yeah. The pause moment is very important. Pause and not deciding one way or another. Really important piece to build in. It's an amazingly simple piece, but it's really elusive because our reactivity is so quick, and often we think we're doing the right thing. Your politeness, you know, immediate politeness, which is a good thing, but you get what we call the benevolent dictator as well as the cruel dictator. So, you know, just pause, what's really needed. The benevolent dictator is the one that pushes you into trying to do good, but it hasn't really got what good would be at this particular moment. So you push in, like the helicopter parents, you know, hovering over their kids all the time to make sure they do good. And, you know, what is good? So when we don't decide what's good, but we're waiting for it, we're looking out for it, it just takes that 5 second, 3 second, 2 second pause. Okay, and then maybe this would be good. And it's much more tentative, much more invitation or a suggestion than a do this. So it's a softer movement. And pausing is really helpful. Difficult. So I remember I was sort of having a bit of a heated but confrontational experience with somebody. And I was thinking, if I could just pause for 3 seconds after he's finished speaking before I say something back. Just 3 seconds. I managed it a few times. And it was amazing the effect of somebody saying, but you know, you do, and you just go, ah, different. And how easy it is just to go, well, I do this all the time. You know, get off. I'm trying to do the best I can. You know, the immediate. And just that sense of relax. And you realize a lot of stuff is not necessary. Remember, if you're playing tennis and somebody's bashing balls over the net, the faster you bash them back, the faster they're going to come back to you again. What happens if you just put your racket down and go, that ball don't come back. Anything else? Well, simply speaking, again, we come back into the here, stability in the body. Because fear is really, really normal. Mostly it's quite mild, just a sense of uncertainty. Is this okay? I don't know. Am I all right? How is she feeling? Is this going to be good? That's quite normal. You know? But, you know, with fear and even low-grade nervousness, anxiety in social contact, you've got to pause from action. How you feel, and just come into your own sense, your feet on the floor, you're okay, here we are, and see what comes out of that. Because it's true that everything is uncertain. That's not wrong. But what is often called fear is like the mind activates to get over the fear. So we sort of minor panic. We start trying to do all kinds of things to make things okay. It's a kind of mild panic. So the mind activates to get over the fear, to find the right thing. So it activates. And as we activate, we get more shaky. Now, if we deactivate, there's that wobbly moment. This could be really difficult. I'll accept that. And then you find something else comes through, a certain sense of, well, I'm okay. You know, how's it for you? So we start to sort of get a bit more negotiating our life rather than predicting it. Negotiate it. How will it be when I retire? How will it be if I lose my car? How will it be if I get the sack? How will it be if so-and-so leaves me? right now, meet that activation, the desperation. Breathing in, breathing out, here we are. As long as you stay in touch with this, you'll be okay. So you don't want to try to find answers for security. You want to find where the security already is. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. Once we accept life is very, on one level, is really uncertain, insecure, risky, and it's not going to be anything but that. So no matter how hard you scramble and try to build things solid, it's still going to be uncertain, risky, insecure. Once you really, really get that, turn towards what is already here and you can manage it. You can surf the waves, but they're not going to stop coming in, but you can ride on them instead of being constantly trying to, you know, get it settled down. How to make a decision and act with clarity. The mind is always jumping towards trying to find the decision, isn't it? And then when it jumps towards trying to make a decision, it gets the one decision, then it, but then again, maybe if I did it another way, that one could be better. Because that's the point of, you know, that's the problem with acting. It's not that acting is wrong, but so often we act before we've really fully settled, you know, into insecurity, into the indecisive, settling into the indecisive, settling into the insecure, settling into the unresolved, settling into the ambiguous, settling into the don't know, settling into the unfinished, the untidy. I'm waiting, settling into it. And then may I, if you like, though it's a silly old phrase, may I be well, but really, you know, and then you kind of see what happens with the question, the topic, the decision to do this or to do that. And you just let it resonate. See what will arise out of that. Because you've got to let that question or that concern hit a truer place than your thinking mind. More profound place than just your thinking mind. Not your thinking mind isn't any worse than mine, I assure you. Mine doesn't say. So it often just bats around in that thinking mind, well, but this or that and this and that, and just, oh. But then again, this and that and this, I should do this, but now I've got to come to a conclusion soon that this and that, and oh, forget about it. But then again, I'm really responsible for this. And it's still hitting that same level. So you're going to, I don't know. I really don't know. And, now what's true, what's beautiful now? And often we may in fact try to decide too much. Try to decide, you know, the next 3 years, or should I get married or something. And maybe the first decision to make is just to let arise is, it's whatever, you know, is possible. And then just the first movement, I'll see how it goes. Stay in touch with the here-ness. See how it goes. See what's going to come towards you. See how the meeting is going to take. See if you can meet the situation without trying to solve it. Yeah. And so then it's going to find its own way. Nothing by itself remains stuck. So when things are sticking, stuck in the same repetitive pattern of thought, It's because something in us is interfering with that process. And what interferes with it is the push to get to an answer. Yeah. So if we unhook that, we don't know the answer, we know we can stop. If we know we can stop the push to get an answer. Because if you could get the answer, you'd have it. So you're not going to get an answer. So what can you do? You can stop trying to find an answer. And first of all, get to feel comfortable in the uncertainty. And then there's the topic again, and see how you can move towards it a little bit at a time. What does it mean? You know, what does a job mean? What does it really mean? It means maybe, you know, material requisites, meeting interesting people, doing something useful. If it means being secure, that isn't going to work. Yeah. If it means this feels good, this feels interesting, this feels it's going to provide, you know, then we'll move into it. But you've also got to have realistic expectations of what can one can arrive at. And you're going to get to a relationship with another person, you think this is going to be happy and easy? No. If it's going to be interesting, useful, helpful way of learning and being with someone, then that's possible. But this can be smooth and easy. Don't bother, don't go there. Because he'd give you some big disappointments on the way. And so we try to give up a fantasy goal. You know? It's like when I became a monk as such, I didn't really particularly want to become a monk. It's not wasn't an image that particularly interested me. In fact, if anything, I think it would have terrified me. No, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're never going to have this again, you won't do that. Jeez. So I couldn't, but the feeling of I'm okay. I can meditate, I can breathe in and out, nobody's bothering me. There's some good people. Feels okay for now, and we'll see how it goes. Feels okay for now, we'll see how it goes. Ah. I've understood something about my mind. That was good. Stay with this, see how it goes. See how it goes. You know? And so for me it was just some way of which I could begin to understand the compulsions of my mind, the panics of my mind, the fantasies of my mind, you know, the way it would conjure up these life scenarios. You know, if you become a monk, you're never going to have friends again for the rest of your life. You'd be stuck in a cootie for the rest of your life. No more fun for the rest of your life. You know, no more happiness the rest of your life. Just give me out. You're all right. You're all right. Here we are. Present moment. Here we are. Come back. And then, well, so now we've touched something. We've touched into experiencing the way the mind can throw out these enormous, you know, fantasies of fear, of desire. If I get this, I'll be that and that and that and that and that. I'll really have that. Careful, you know. So if you're using it, so you come into a way of really understanding the way the mind spins out, and then we always want to come back to here. Can you understand that? Can you understand doubt? Can you come to terms with doubt? Yeah. What's really involved here? What are the pleasures? What are the rewards? How true are they? You know? And then you're going to find that that scenario loosens up. Sometimes we're trying to decide the wrong thing. You know, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Have you ever got an answer to that one? But can you handle doubt? That's an important question. So let's just pause, there'll be chance for more questions and so on. Pause, because I'd like to just conclude the morning session. And so take a breath, a couple of breaths. I'm wondering if just for the last couple of minutes, 5 minutes or so, we could have a small, very quiet dialogue. This would be a dialogue in silence. So what we'd do, if you'd like to just stand up. So, sensing your own, imagine you have a column or a thread running down from the top of your head through your body, the soles of your feet, or whatever you have, that sense of feeling, your own sense of here-ness, presence. Let your eyes be softly open, so you're not looking with an intense gaze, you're just aware, and you're aware there are forms, you know, windows, Buddhas, people. And just start to turn, move around very slowly and gently, acknowledging without a lot of contact, just acknowledging the presence of other people. So, first of all, it's just shapes and colours, isn't it? And if you sense that, shapes and colours, and then just some recognition, other people, brothers and sisters, if you like to put it, and whatever comes up with that. It's not personal. But it is acknowledgement of humans. And how you feel with that. So we're not really seeking a reaction or a smile or a gesture, just seeing with a very open intention and recognizing that we're also being seen. Seeing and being seen with just a very open intention. So it can be very subdued. Naturally, there's some tremble there. It can be slightly anxious or uncertain. You don't have to make eye contact. So whatever feels comfortable in your own presence, not to lose your own here-ness, to just allow perceptions of other people to be there without acting on it. Thank you. So let's take a break for a meal and meet again at 2:00.